and welcome back to another episode of the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your mental strength coach, guide, and mentor. To find out more about mental strength and warrior mind coaching, please visit us at www.warriormindcoach.com and our world-famous blog, www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. Today, I have a very exciting interview with former Navy SEAL Mark Devine. Mark is just quite an extraordinary individual. I'll post his bio on the site, but 170 honor man from the BUDS class, Navy SEAL commander, SEAL Team 1, CPA degree, yoga martial arts, black belt, Saito ninjutsu, Saito karate, just so many accolades and so many credentials stand behind him. It's unbelievable. That's not the important part. I mean, yes, it is. But what he is doing in his camp in SEALFIT.com is he is transforming lives. This individual and his team that he surrounded himself with are taking individuals into this 1 week, 3 week, 50-hour type process, and you'll see that on the site, and taking them and molding them, putting them through this crucible, but taking them in one way, and they're coming out completely transformed. His process, his training, his teachings, again, are so in line with what I have been talking about that I just had to get a hold of Mark, and he was kind enough to spend a little bit over an hour with me today. He took time away from his class, so I know you're going to absolutely love this interview. Take notes, download it, keep it, burn it to a CD, give it to people, pass the word, because what Mark has to say is just absolutely tremendous. So without any further ado, this is the interview with Mark.
Well, welcome, everybody. I got an amazing, amazing individual on the line here today. Going to have a fantastic interview with a gentleman that just, if I read his bio, it would take the whole podcast. Gentleman Mark Devine, ex-Navy SEAL, owner of SEAL Fit, head coach down there, just an amazing, amazing individual, and I'm so happy and pleased to bring him on the podcast today. So welcome, Mark.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And before we go any further, just from myself, my family, and everybody else, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the service that you provided to the United States. It's heartfelt thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Really do. Thank you.
So let's get into this. You got an amazing program down there in the San Diego area, SEAL Fit. Can you just talk a little bit about it? I want to get the you know, what you're doing right now, and then we're going to get into a little bit about you. But could you get into a little bit of what SEAL Fit is and how you came up with this?
Sure, absolutely. SEAL Fit is really a life passion for me. It's, you know, like a lot of businesses and probably yours as well. You know, it didn't start out in its current form. It started out really quite different. I started out as with a website called NavySEALs.com, you know, where I was selling products, and I had a forum and a community. And it's really about the SEALs, but what I found is a lot of special ops candidates, you know, folks who are looking at that as a potential career or just fascinated with that, would come, and they, you know, that they would ask questions in the forums. And so I started to become kind of the subject matter expert on, you know, everything to do to get ready to prepare your mind and body for the rigors of, you know, SEAL training, Special Forces, Green Beret training, that kind of stuff. And then that led to a government contract that was let by the Navy Recruiting Command to actually mentor SEAL candidates nationwide back in 2006. And it was a five-year contract where I had 30-some-odd SEALs out in the recruiting districts around the world, and they were actually training up candidates who were on their way to boot camp and then to SEAL training. By a twist of fate that, you know, we don't need to go into right here, a little company called Blackwater USA came in and, you know, ripped that contract out from under me within 1 year. And I was left, you know, back with with really no business except for a small e-commerce business, wondering what I'm going to do with myself. And I was so soured on kind of the whole idea of government contracting. I said, you know what, I really want to train. I want to keep doing what I'm doing, but I want to do it in a much more effective way using cutting-edge tools that, you know, the Navy or the government bureaucracy would never let me use. And I want to train people one-on-one, and I want to train people who really want to train hard, and not limit it to just special ops candidates, but I want to take everything that I've learned in my life through 25 years of my martial arts training, you know, 15 years of yoga, 20 years in the SEAL teams, and apply it, you know, in a model that I can brand and, you know, have some incredible transformational results. And so that kind of vision turned into the Kokoro Camp, the SEAL Fit Kokoro Camp. Kokoro means warrior spirit or unbeatable spirit in Japanese, as you're probably familiar. And then that basically became the core, the kernel of this new business I have called SEAL Fit. So that's kind of a long-winded introduction about how it came about. But in a nutshell, SEAL Fit is an accelerated learning program to with a primary focus on developing warriorness, right? Warrior spirit, mental toughness, you know, a warrior leadership, and a concept of elite teamwork, and those types of things that are really prevalent and part and parcel of being on an elite team in a warrior tradition. And we teach them in a variety of forms. One of my most favorite is a immersive academy. We have a 3-week and a 1-week version, and we have one going on right now. And so we bring in young warriors, or actually, you know, any age. I've got a 54-year-old guy in our current 3-week academy. But, you know, basically 60% are special ops candidates. The other 40% are guys who, and ladies who, you know, want to test themselves against that standard. And we train them from, you know, 5 in the morning until roughly 7 or 8 at night for 30 days straight. It's pretty incredible. And we teach them leadership, self-defense, obviously endurance training, so running, rucking, ocean swimming, ocean confidence, combat side stroke, mental toughness, awareness, and warrior yoga, and meditation, and concentration, and goal setting, and, you know, all the principles and tactics and strategies for, you know, forging mental toughness and kind of this unbeatable spirit. And it's incredibly effective. And we have 100% success rate in getting our trainees who come to this program through their special ops training programs. So it's become a real labor of love for me, and now we're trying to figure out how to take the program to a broader audience through a training program, physical training program that you can do at home, which will basically be, you know, our functional fitness in the box type program, mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, codify some of the mental toughness tactics and techniques that we teach, you know, into maybe ebook format or other formats so that other people can take advantage of it without having to, you know, live on site and pay $5,000 to come train with us.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I just was on your site constantly every day, just looking, listening to your interviews, watching the videos, and it is intense. I mean, there's no holds about it. I mean, it's very intense. And you said something that you have, you know, 60% are for special ops type people and 40% are for those others. And I wanted to get in asking you about, specifically, I have this, maybe it's an unsupported belief, but I'm looking at men over 40, and many times they tend to start going more spiritual. There's nothing wrong with spiritual, but sometimes it's to the rejection of the physical, meaning I'm not going to work out, I'm not going to do this, and they go through these midlife crises, and they get soft and all this kind of stuff. How do you see those individuals who really are looking to get their swagger back, right, to get that masculinity back, that energy, how do you see them participating in your program, or how could they benefit by coming to you? Because it sounds like they're put up against some really young kids, and you know, as we get, at least I can speak for myself, as I get older, I would like to have more successes in my life than be put up against a 21-year-old who's fire and brimstone.
Right. There's a lot to say about this subject. First off, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, in the contraction phase of our life, you know, post 40, physical training becomes even more important, right? It's easy when you're in your 20s and 30s, right, to crank out a workout and to get that in, you feel all that energy. But when you're beyond 40, and I'm 48 right now, and I routinely smash our younger guys in our high-capacity workouts and our strength training, only because it's just, you know, it's an everyday deal for me, and so my body has maintained that, you know, work capacity. And I've seen guys who are willing to work hard, you know, develop the strength, stamina, endurance, mental toughness, and work capacity of men 20 years their junior. But it takes a little bit longer, and it takes intense, you know, discipline. And we present a model that not only is this doable, but it's in a warrior path, it is mandatory, right? It is not an option, right? It is absolutely part and parcel of, you know, living a good life. And it's one part of our, you know, stand in life is that, you know, hard physical training and fueling your body properly with good nutrition and getting the right sleep and being durable is not something unusual. It's just normal, right? Now, it may be unusual in our culture and maybe uncommon in our culture, but it's not uncommon for the human spirit and the human condition, especially, you know, historically and across the ages. So that's kind of one point. And then as far as how can we actually make that work for people in our training program is that everything that we do is scalable, right? And so let's give you an example. We just did a workout which was broken into three sets. First was a set of back squats, right, heavy back squats. Now, back squats, deadlift, you know, power lifts are incredible for older guys because there is an actual neuroendocrine response that releases growth hormones when you lift more than your body weight or anywhere near your body weight off the ground or lower it down. And you do it safely, and it has tremendous effect for maintaining bone muscle mass and muscular growth in older men. And so, but, you know, a young guy who's pressing two times his body weight may be intimidating to an older guy, but I'm not asking the older guy to press two times his body weight. I'm asking him to get under the bar and to learn how to deadlift or to back squat safely, right? And so we may get him up to one times his body weight, and that's terrific, right? And then we went into a work capacity, which is a high-intensity interval functional training session, and it was really just three rounds of a 400-meter sprint followed by 21 kettlebell swings followed by 21 box jumps or pull-ups, I'm sorry, 21 pull-ups with a three-minute break, and then another three rounds of a rowing machine, 500 meters, mm-hmm. followed by 21 deadlifts and 21 box jumps. And the 54-year-old guy, same thing, right? He actually beat most of the younger kids. But, you know, if one of the younger kids is doing using a 55-pound kettlebell, well, the older guy's using a 35-pound, right? And if the younger kids are doing dead-hang pull-ups, he's doing rubber band pull-ups. Mm-hmm. So you get my point. Everything is scalable. But we don't change the nature of the workout. He's getting the same exact workout. He's doing the same movements, but we're just lightening the load or giving him some props or tools that will help him do the full range of motion and do the movement safely, but he's getting the same benefit.
Oh, fantastic. That's awesome. How do you see, so for the guys, and again, I'm going to focus on this just a little bit more, for the guys that are in that, you said, the contraction phase of our life, and they are looking to get in touch with that spiritual part. How
right.
do you see the physical workouts itself playing into the spiritual part?
This is an excellent question. And it's one that we talk about at length here. Because I firmly believe that you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual or vice versa. And I believe that there's many, many warrior traditions that have proven that to be true. For instance, the samurai or the ninjutsu, for that matter. The physical body, or even the yogis, right? The physical was very, very important to the yogis. Now, the more advanced they became in their practice, they would often leave the physical behind. But that was usually after, you know, much later in their lives, you know, when they're in their 80s or 90s. You know, for us, you know, we call it five mountains. There's five mountains or five lines of human experience or development that we focus on. It's the physical, the mental, the emotional, the intuitive and awareness part of ourselves, and then the spirit, the warrior spirit. And they grow kind of simultaneously through the physical training, right? So the physical work, especially the hard crucible training, the work that requires you to dig deeply into your soul to accomplish a task and where your body isn't there, you know, isn't the one that's doing the work, if you know what I mean. Like when I do a 50-hour mental toughness camp, the bodies fail very early, and so you rely on various other factors to accomplish the mission, to get through the camp. So you, number one, you rely on your teammates, right? And then number two, you rely on mental toughness, but even that can only go so far. So then you've got to tap into that wellspring, you know, that source of universal power, which is, you know, essentially where your spirit resides or, you know, is connected to. And so we literally ask people to kind of go deeply, and they find that source of spiritual strength to get through. And so the physical training is very, very valuable. Now, here's another piece that we talk about all the time. So we sit in silence, and we sit in silence to tame our, you know, our monkey minds and our outer ego mind, so that we can, you know, be more in touch with, you know, our witness. And then what we want to do is get up off the mat and find that same silence in the middle of a shitstorm. And we practice that, right? And so the Apaches call that the sacred silence. The sacred silence wasn't sitting for 40 days in a vision quest quietly. The sacred silence was walking with one foot in spirit and one foot in physical, and being able to operate, you know, 100% in presence. It's not unlike what Eckhart Tolle talks about in The Power of Now. I mean, it is to be able to be 100% present, regardless of whether you're under a log doing log PT or sitting, you know, on a mat in Zazen. And so for me, the physical, you know, it extends well beyond, you know, being in the flow or zone of a sporting event. It literally, what we try to teach is it becomes who you are. It is the unification of your ego with your spirit, and then you walk every moment in that spirit. And so whether you're working out or, right, sitting in silence or reading a book.
Wow, that's amazing. So, I mean, I firmly agree with you 1,000% on it. It sounds like the way you described it is the physical is almost a doorway into deeper inner chambers within the individual themselves, and you kind of have to go through these layers to tap into that wellspring, and you have to go through that physical part.
I think you have to, because what the warriors understood is that the physical can be a barrier, right? And so if you don't, I mean, you can go through the mind, like a lot of the spiritual practices, like Buddhism, you can just go through the mind and silence the mind, but if you leave the body unattended, then the body, that you're unbalanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your body will then become an impediment, right? You haven't done the tapas work. You haven't burned off the impurities. You haven't burned off the emotional baggage. And so then, you know, you could literally be at a very advanced practitioner, but be an emotional infant, you know what I mean? Or you know, be an alcoholic or something like that. And we've seen many examples of that in society. They're all over the place, particularly in the West, where people don't, you know, they have this lopsided view of spiritual practice, and they just focus on kind of the mental aspect, concentration practices or quasi-meditation, and they don't do the work, you know, the physical work. So it's unbalanced, and that's why we look at it. It's got to be, got to have a physical component, whether that's, you know, Seal Fit or yoga. It doesn't matter, as long as you're working and you know, your body, you're going in through that body doorway, as you call it. But it's also got to be controlling the mind, you know, taming the mind, that outer mind. And it's also got to be about emotional control and death. And so, you know, I'm a big fan of integral theory, and integral theory says the same thing. You've got to be balanced in your development, and emotional control and Western psychotherapy and shadow work is really important, because you could do all the advanced spiritual contemplative work in the world, but you could have, you know, some sort of emotional blockage that was caused by being abused as a kid, and you're never going to advance to the higher stages as long as that's part of your being. So you've got to work on that part as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is, you know, the Lakota talk about it on a medicine wheel. If you look at it, your personal life, where each quadrant is a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical, and you have to have that wheel balanced and completely balanced. And that is just, that's so perfect, because there's, I mean, you're saying it so well, and I hope the listeners are really taking notes and play this over and over again, because you've given so much gems of information here, Mark. It's just completely amazing as to the level of detail that you're giving about explaining the physical part and how really important it is to transcending the spiritual part.
Right. Yeah, and one of the things that we love is, like, we put people under fire, and they start, you know, they come and they're afraid. They're like, oh, my God, this is going to be hard. I'm like, yeah, so what, right? It's anything good in life that, you know, that you want to savor and you remember is hard. And so embrace it. We say embrace the suck, right? Enjoy it. Find happiness in the temporary misery of discipline, so you don't suffer the long-term pain of regret.
Yeah.
And after several weeks of this training, they just start to thrive, and they crave it. And it's really fascinating to see that transformation in such a short period of time.
So with this transformation, let me just, if I can ask to shift a little bit. So if they're not a special ops, I understand how that's going to apply to their work and their life. But you have these other folks coming in that are not in special ops, and they may not even be first responders.
Sure.
How do they apply this to their life when they come out of it? How do you see them applying it? There may be a CEO. It could be a stay-at-home mom. How do you see this transcending this great environment that you provide to their other world?
Well, I think the answer to that would be it depends. And the depends part is it depends upon who they are when they come into the program, right? I firmly believe that everyone is at a different stage of consciousness development, you know, based upon, you know, their station in life, you know, where they're born, how they were born, who their family was, their culture, and, you know, the work that they've done in their lives, either deliberately or the work that was forced upon them, you know, spiritually through, you know, accident or crisis from within. So everyone comes to us at a different stage. And so having said that, everyone leaves at a different stage. However, having said that, what we do affect here, because it's truly an accelerated, full immersive training program, is that we do affect a paradigm shift in your consciousness and thinking. And especially for the older folks, they do leave here a different person and with a whole new concept of what they're capable of, right? We call this the 20X factor. We teach them that, number one, they're capable of 20 times more than they thought they were previously. Number two, we teach them a set of values or a code that can help, you know, create a new boundary around or directionality in their life. And number three is we do deep work on, you know, I think this is kind of some of the work that you do too, Greg. I'm anxious to learn more about it, but we do deep work on trying to contemplate their purpose and vision and path in life. And we've had, quite frankly, people who have changed their entire life trajectory as a result of working with us. Let me give you one example. We recently had a fellow who played NFL football, so it's a pro ball player for the Detroit Lions. His name is Derek Price. He broke his neck about 10 years ago, and that ended that career. And so, you know, since then, he's been, you know, trying to reclaim some of his glory, you know, by challenging himself physically, right? And so he's run the Hawaiian Ironman a couple of times. He's done some expeditions. He's, you know, done this massive, long, open water swim, and he just keeps on knocking down these goals, right? And when he found out about Kokoro Camp, which is our 50-hour mental toughness camp, he's like, ah, cool, another goal that I can challenge me. Here's the next mountain to climb, right? I'm going to go knock this one down. And that's kind of the paradigm he entered with. Well, very shortly after the camp began, within the first 8 hours, he started to shift. And this is in his words in retrospect. And I've got to get him on a video or audio testimony or two to tell his story. It's really cool. He started to shift. He realized that he was so much stronger than a lot of the kids, a lot of the folks in this camp, both young and old. And even the young special ops candidates, you know, just didn't have the background that he had. And so he started to help people out, right? And within, the end of the first 24 hours of the camp, he was all about, and he had completely taken his eyes off himself and fully put them on to supporting his teammates, helping them get through the hard evolutions, helping them mentally and emotionally, and trying to keep the team together. And he became kind of the de facto team leader all the way through this training event. And he sent me an email a week later. He said, Mark, you know, this has just been an extraordinary experience. He goes, I can't tell you how much this camp, this experience has meant to me, because what it did is it completely shifted my entire perspective on life to where, you know, instead of running around looking at how I can challenge myself or what's in it for me, or, you know, Derek Price being the big tough guy, I'm finding myself seeking opportunities to help people and to be a team player. And my concept of team has expanded from I'm working with these elite, you know, NFL players, or I'm part of these elite guys, not part of the rest of the world, to where everybody's on my team. And so, you know, he explained, he's like walking down the street, he's like looking for opportunities to help, you know, the little old lady cross the street, or to, you know, to just be useful. And that's incredible, right? Because that's a whole consciousness leap, right, from focus on self to focus on, you know, basically all sentient beings. And that doesn't happen very much, even in a lifetime.
I mean, that's a perfect example because, I mean, I admire the challenge of going out there. I climb mountains and I do things like that. But the shift that Derek had was just phenomenal as opposed to what's the next challenge for me is to how can I help the person with their next challenge?
Exactly. That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Oh, that's a huge, huge shift. That is just phenomenal. So before we leave the subject of your business, I just wanted to ask you, when you look at developing mental toughness, I call it mental strength, but you know it's just the same thing. That's that perseverance, that courage. How important do you see the physical challenges being? We talked about the physical, the spiritual, but there's that mental, the physical part to the mental, because you do have those individuals that maybe think they can develop a certain level without physically, you know, climbing a mountain or swimming, you know, doing a triathlon. They're just going to read a book and apply it. And I have my own opinion, but I'd like to hear your perspective on that, please.
Well, I think there's layers to mental toughness, right? And it's just like, you know, talking about leadership. Leadership is a word, right? Concepts of leadership are multifaceted, right? It really depends upon your perspective and what you really think leadership is. And so it's easy to get caught up in a definition. Mental toughness is easy to think it's about the mind, and the mind is a muscle, right? And how strong is that muscle? And I can get stronger. I can strengthen my mind through reading, through analytical processes, through becoming a better cognitive thinker. I can strengthen my mind through learning new mental models, decision-making tools, right? And I can strengthen my mind by developing creative learning skills, right? Such as, you know, sitting for ideas, contemplation, brainstorming, those types of things. And I can do all that without ever lifting a finger. Mm-hmm. And all that is very true. And we practice that. And that, so part of our mental toughness training is strengthening our outer kind of cognitive brain, learning new mental models like I talked about. We have about 5 or 6 that we teach that help, you know, people understand their belief systems and can remodel and reframe, you know, kind of how they view the world, which makes them more powerful. And then we also do the creative visualization and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And all that's very good. But it doesn't mean that they're going to have the mental toughness to make it through a crisis, right, or to make it through an extremely hard event in their lives. And a lot of those people who just stick to the, you know, the analytical without lifting a finger, they fall apart when the going gets tough, when the going gets really tough. And so I think that you need both, right? And my model is you do need both. You need to test yourself on your fire. And that's scalable as well. Like, you know, I'm not saying that I'm going to put an 80-year-old lady under a 300-pound log with 6 other guys. You know, and that's mental toughness, but, you know, there are ways to challenge the physical at all ages and all fitness levels. And what I like about that is when you take people out of their comfort zone and you take all their normal crutches away and they're suffering in some sort of, you know, physical capacity, then that's when, you know, they need to really do the deep diving for mental toughness. So, you know, for instance, Viktor Frankl with Man's Search for Meaning, you know, there's nothing more physically challenging than being a prisoner of war, right? I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing I could throw at anybody that's going to be even, you know, remotely as challenging as what those guys went through, right? To be a POW Jewish prisoner camp or World War II. I'm reading a fantastic book called Unbroken right now about American POWs and Japanese camps during World War II and just insane abuse that they went through, crazy. But their, you know, their will to live was so strong that, you know, they survived. Not all of them, but, you know, the ones that did, it was really their will to live. Their, you know, you could call it mental toughness, but it was deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I say is, I say the mental toughness is kind of a mislabel, right? Because those who do the best learn that the mind is only a small fraction of the equation. And the mind, just like the body, is a doorway to your spirit. And you need to kind of open both doors, you know, and let the energy flow through, and that's where your source of strength comes from.
That
so I don't think you get that by just sitting and reading, you know, Warrior Mindset or, you know, doing doing problem solving in a mental toughness class, right? Or just by staying awake, you know, even though that's hard for sure.
Yeah. Wow, that is great. That's great insight on that, Mark. Really appreciate that. I want to shift now a little bit towards you. You, Mark, as a person and what kind of makes you tick in a sense. And you have a lot going on. I mean, I look at your site and you have these 1 week camps, these 50 hour camps, these 3 week camps, the five mountains, you have all this stuff. And then you have your business to run. And how do you maintain your focus on a regular basis?
Well, I've got a really good team around me for sure. It hasn't always been that way, but you know, one thing I learned is I can't do it alone. So I rely on a team to do probably 95% of my business. You know, I don't really enroll people in my CrossFit gym, and I don't enroll people in my camps and seminars. You know, I have structured it to where I am doing the highest value that I can, and that's training people, right? And so the neat thing, Greg, is that when I train people, I mean, sure, it's exhausting, but I'm out there working out side by side. I eat my own dog food, right? When I teach yoga, I practice yoga with them. When I teach meditation and breath control, I practice meditation and breath control with them. When I go out and do strength training and teach the skills for how to get under load and how to move load safely and this and that, I do it alongside of them. When I do high intensity work capacity training session, I do it alongside of them. And I'm doing this, you know, month in and month out, and it's just extremely rewarding. And so that's kind of my energy recharge, right? So I spend probably, you know, maybe 40 or 50% of my time coaching and training. And then there's, you know, there's periods in between these camps where I'm not, but I still train every day. And so my day is really focused. So my, you know, my priorities are my own physical and kind of mental spiritual training, my own five mountain training plan. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I literally choose, you know, three projects at a time that I need to, that are highest value projects that are going to have the biggest impact on my business. And I just focus on them until they're done and then I move on. And I try not to let, you know, the thousands of little tasks that are urgent but unimportant, you know, to get in my way. And sometimes I fail miserably in that, but, you know, I always try to come back and, you know, follow the goal setting guidelines that I teach to my guys, you know, and that is just a, choose those three biggest ones and then break them down into bite-sized chunks and review your goals daily and, you know, check them against reality and make sure they're smart goals and those types of things, and then those become my projects. And so that's kind of the way I'm working. I've got a couple big projects I'm working on right now. I'm writing a book, but I've got a writer who's helping me, and I'm working on this DVD program, which has been a huge project and a lot of fun, where I basically try to take the strength and the work capacity physical training that we do and then break it down so that I can, you know, do it in a, you know, 6-foot by 3-foot space, literally standing in the living room in front of a DVD player.
Right.
And the only tools you'll need are a pull-up bar and a set of dumbbells. And I've created this program, which is just kick-ass physical training program, all functional, you know, based on kind of Navy SEAL training combined with CrossFit/SEAL Fit principles. And we're about 6 to 8 days out from videotaping that whole thing and then hope to get it into the marketplace by the end of the year. And that'll be sold via an infomercial, kind of like P90X.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm lacing through it kind of my mental toughness tips and some of my philosophy and strategy. And I'm going to have a martial arts, you know, fighting, you know, video will be in there, and also my warrior yoga. So it's going to be very multifaceted. So that's been a really fun project. Well, anyway, that was a long-winded answer to your question.
No, that was great because, again, you know, Mark, we talked about part of my interviews is to pull out of the individuals their habits for success, and so far I've taken notes on about five of them for yourself that I'm going to recap in the studio about this because, and I'll send them to you as well because you've just given some great chunks of information that if somebody – wants to be successful yourself, there's perfect stuff right here. I mean, it's awesome. So it's not a long-winded answer. It's actually perfect the way it is.
Right.
So if you think about your life as, you know, in a week chunk, when you have a perfect week, what is essential to you that you have to have, do, be, or experience in a week for you to say, man, this was a great week. This was important to me. I got all my values taken care of. My criteria for living a good week was done.
That's a great question. Well, the week would have included some incredible family time with my wife and 12-year-old son. And so, like, I really do not like weeks where I travel a lot and don't get to spend time with my family. And in fact, I've structured my life and my business to bring people to me so that I can go home at night. Or, like, this morning I took my son, dropped him off at surf camp, and hung out and watched him body surf, you know, for about half hour, 40 minutes. That was very, very cool. Still got to work at 8:30 and, you know, ended up with a great hour to hour and 15-minute workout with my trainees. Yeah, off to a good start for the day, I would say, right? And so that would be the first principle of one of my top values is, you know, family. Mm-hmm. And so that's an important piece. The second important piece is focus on my health. And so a good week would be where I meet my training plan. And I don't have to meet it 100%, but if I get to 80%, I'm doing well. And so my training plan includes 4 to 5 work capacity training sessions a week, which are like anywhere from 20 to 40 minute, you know, just kick-ass functional training sessions like I described earlier in the program. 3 strength training sessions a week where I'm working on developing my, you know, overall ability to lift stuff. So we focus on deadlifts and back squats, front squats, presses, and some Olympic lifting, like the clean and the jerk. And it also includes a minimum of 3 yoga sessions a week. Often 1 to 2 of those are hot yoga, which are great for detoxifying the body, and at least 1 Ashtanga yoga, which is what I'm certified to teach or gotten teacher trained in. And it's a bonus if I can get a fighting session in our combat defense, which is the hand-to-hand combat training that we teach here. Right. And then for every one of the yoga sessions, I will build in a quiet time, right? And so before and after the yoga, we're usually doing breath control and some, you know, meditation. So that's good. And then I also will like to spend at least a half an hour every day or more if I have the time reading something of value, something good, right? And I've got probably about 12 books going at a time, which is one of my strange quirks. But so I pick my way through and read a chapter, you know, one of those books, and whichever one speaks to me at the moment. And then if I've got a good day, a good week in my business setting, right? So all that is personal, and that comes first. Because I really strongly believe that, you know, your business is a reflection of your character, and your character is basically a reflection of your, you know, your health, your mental, physical, and spiritual health. And so you got to take care of that first, and that includes, you know, family. And if you take care of that, then that flows through to good relationships, you know, positive attitude in your business, clarity of thinking, good decision making. And we all know that, you know, it's not really those big decisions that count, but it's the little tiny ones you make throughout the day. As long as all those little tiny decisions are wise decisions, then those big ones are going to be wise decisions as well. And so, you know, if you're healthy, clear thinking, you know, happy, everything's going well on the private side, then, you know, you can flow that through to your business and everything kind of clicks. So, you know, if I can communicate and get my team focused and I feel like we're driving toward our objectives, and I really only have like 1 meeting a week with my staff.
Okay.
And the rest of the time is spent, you know, coaching, training, you know, corresponding, writing, you know, blog or post or something. I probably could do a lot more of that. You know, some marketing activities, you know, connecting with Facebook and social media, stuff like that. And, you know, project work.
Yep. Wow, no, that's pretty important, because, again, what I heard on that is just, as you even underscored it, is you come first, because, and I've been a big proponent of that, you come first because you create your reality in some sense, right? You create your
that's
world,
correct.
You create your business, and if you as the individual is out of balance, your creations will be out of balance. At least that's my
right
philosophy, and that's what I heard you saying. At least in my filter, I heard it.
I agree with that. Right. In fact, I wrote down and I teach this my 7 secrets for success to my trainees, and the first one that, and this kind of ties into what I was saying earlier about, you know, how you should align your personal life comes first, and understanding what drives you, what you're passionate about, kind of what your sense of purpose is. And a lot of that work I did a long time ago, but I'm always, you know, kind of checking in with that to make sure. But then to take that and put it into your, you know, through a professional lens and say, okay, how do I take what I'm passionate about that is aligned with my purpose in life as a human, right, for my reason for being here? How can I, you know, orient my life so I can turn that into my profession as well? You know, and you've done a beautiful job of that as well. So I honor you for that. But so that's kind of my first principle, is that you've got to do something you love to do, mm-hmm. and you've got to be passionate about it, and it's got to show, right?
Yep.
And then you've got to become darn good at it, right? You've got to master. You've got to become the subject matter expert, right? And so that's, you know, I've been working on this for years, and it's just flowing through into my training program now over the last 4 years. But you've got to become a master at what you love to do. And then you got to focus your efforts, right? And so, like, if I was trying to do Feel Fit, and you say I've got a lot going on in Feel Fit, but that's true, but it's one business, and it's very focused, right? And I'm trying to focus it more every day. And I've really gotten away from the product business, even though it still exists. I've outsourced the entire thing. I'm not involved in selling backpacks and, you know, tactical gear anymore. And I've got a CrossFit gym here, but I'm not involved at all in coaching any of the CrossFit classes or enrollments or anything. And we've got a membership of about 150, but it's just not my focus. My focus is Feel Fit. And so that's kind of the third principle, is you've got to really focus that energy, become a laser beam instead of like a floodlight. And next is just, and this is so simple, but you got to work harder than everyone else, right? When I became a Navy SEAL, I said, you know what, becoming a Navy SEAL is easy. I mean, there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of who have done it before me. So obviously there's a roadmap I can follow. And then what I need to do is just figure out that plan and then work harder than everyone else. Piece of cake, right? And then just do it. Right? And then my fifth kind of principle is you can't be all about money, right? You've got to have a higher sense of purpose for what you're doing. Right? If it's just about money, then eventually, you know, it's going to crumble. It doesn't have a solid enough foundation, right? And so, you know, some people find a higher purpose in faith or God, and some people find it in just service. You know, Google finds it in their passion for organizing the world's information, but you got to find a higher order purpose to work for. And then number 6, and this is pretty simple too, because this is what the other thing that helped me get through SEAL training, is just don't quit. I mean, literally, I teach my guys, first thing we're going to do is take those two words, or that one word, quit, and obliterate it from your lexicon. It doesn't exist anymore. Quit's not an option. Sorry. There's a lot of other options, but quit is not one of them. You just eliminate that. Too many people quit on the 1-yard line of success, right? You just get all the way there. The hardest part is usually right at that breakthrough to success, and then they quit. And we've seen people do that. I literally had a guy quit. I kid you not, 50 hours of training, and this guy was not a strong trainee, but we were just trying to break him through to the other side of, you know, self-confidence and just, you know, just putting out more.
Right.
And he finally started to show it in the very last training session of the Kokoro camp, you know, 49 hours into it. He started to put out, so we wanted to try to, you know, cement that in, and we just started laying on the juice, right, just really, really getting under his skin, and he quit. And so we said, no, sorry, you know, you've come too far. We're not going to let you quit, sucker. Sorry, get back under the log. Let's go. And the whole evolution ended about 5 minutes later. I mean, the entire weekend ended. So he literally quit on himself 5 minutes before the end of 50 hours of nonstop training.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
My gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Seth Godin talks about that in his book, The Dip. I don't know if you've read that.
No.
Yeah, he talks about that we'll go along with what we think is a passion or something like something else, and we'll hit this dip and we'll quit. And he talks about evaluating what you're going after beforehand, like what will throw you off your game. And then if something will, then don't go for it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that.
So speaking of books, what are some of your top books that I know, you know, some of the top books that have either that you're reading now or that you've read that if somebody said, Mark, you know, I need three books, what three books would you suggest that I have to have?
Well,
besides yours.
there's so many. Honestly, some of my perennial favorites are Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. Right? I mean, I think it's hilarious that he chose that title. But this book, I've read like 8 times. And the richness of what he uncovered, what Napoleon Hill uncovered and, you know, outlines is just extraordinary, I think. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of Ken Wilber's teaching.
Yes.
Ken Wilber's, you know, are you familiar with his work at all?
Yes, yeah, I'm familiar with that. He, integrative psychology, I think, or
right, integral theory.
Right. He
Sean Phillips, right.
Right. Do some stuff at JFK University and other things. I've talked to Sean about that as well. Actually, Bill, his brother's down there by you in LA.
Right. Yeah, Sean, I think I've actually hooked up with Sean, talked to him a bit a few years ago. It was actually about a product that he was trying to get in the market, and he still got it. But and I've actually never met Ken.
Oh, okay.
But he's one of my, I consider him one of my mentors, and his integral theory has just been a big influence on me.
Okay.
And, you know, it's actually one of the mental models that we teach here at SealFit, and it's foundational to a lot of things that we do. It helps people understand their place, you know, and what kind of role they're filling in any situation. So it's neat. And so I would say, if I was to recommend another book to someone, it would be to pick up a book of his called The Theory of Everything. It's just a fantastic overview of his theories.
Yeah, I have a CD set. I don't have it with me right now. I used to live up in Bend, Oregon, and I left it up there. But it was fascinating hearing him give the lecture.
Oh yeah, I've got one of those lecture series from Sounds True, and
yes.
It's just awesome. I listened to it like 10 times. Also, once I find something I love, I go a little overboard. Another one, you know, in this Eckhart Tolle, I mentioned him earlier. But his work is groundbreaking, I think, because he explains a lot of things that we talked about in very different terms, right? And so, like, you could let me back up and say one of the things that I've tried to do with SealFit is take a lot of things that I've learned in my life. But I learned, you know, for instance, I've got 2 black belts, and I studied ninjutsu, as you know, and I've got a military hand-to-hand combat instructor certification. You know, and except for the hand-to-hand combat instructor cert, all the martial arts, you know, have been draped in other cultures, you know, language and norms. And so it's got a veil of, you know, esoteric around it. And same thing with yoga. I've studied yoga now for 15 years, and I've been teaching it. And, you know, all these people use all the Sanskrit words like Surya Namaskara A and B and they get really into all the Hindu, you know, Bhagavad Gita stuff, and it's really interesting, but it's just draped in another culture's esotericism, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I've done is trying to, like, take the principles that shine through that are universal and then explain them to a Western warrior, mm-hmm. right, and using different language, right? And so I can literally talk about the 8 limbs of yoga in modern English and have people have no clue it's associated with yoga. And so if anything, like I don't believe there's any new knowledge in the world. It's all just, you know, how it's interpreted and presented contextually. And so I've kind of repurposed and been presented contextually and form-fitted knowledge that's worked for me into the Seal Fit model. And so I think Eckhart Tolle kind of did that with the whole concept of, you know, just basically spiritual enlightenment, and said, okay, this is what I experienced, and here's how I explain it with my words, right? And then you go stack it up against what the spiritual traditions say, and you're like, okay, they're saying exactly the same thing, but I can actually understand Eckhart Tolle.
Right.
So I would say the power of now, or the new earth, which should be on somebody's list if they're really on a spiritual journey.
Right. Oh, fantastic. One more question, and then I'm going to let you give a few minutes to describe how people can get a hold of you and the importance of getting in touch with you, at least not you personally, but at least, or right. You personally, but at least the Seal Fit program. So when you look at right. yourself, Mark, you've gone through a lot of great stuff. You've mentioned some teachers that you admire and some books and stuff. But who other people do you emulate or does inspire you to be who you are?
Great question. I've got a few kind of mentors that have really guided me and been a source of inspiration. One is my first martial arts teacher, a guy named Tadashi Nakamura, who is the founder of Seido Karate. Not Saito, but Seido, S-E-I-D-O. He's headquarters in Manhattan. I was fortunate enough to actually, you know, when I went to Manhattan after my college years, and I was going to NYU, and I was actually becoming a CPA. This is before my Navy SEAL days, in my early 20s. I literally moved about two blocks from this headquarters of the World Taito Karate Foundation or Corporation or whatever. And Nakamura was, you know, the head teacher, the founder, and he was kind of one of my role models because he taught every week at his own school. He wasn't the kind of guy, I mean, he had thousands of students, you know, back then hundreds, but probably thousands now of schools around the world. And the model that I created for SEALFIT is just like his. He's like, my job is to teach. It's not to run around the world giving seminars and to, you know, pump my ego. It's to teach. And so he would force all his black belt, you know, dojo affiliates to come to New York every year to train, you know, to get, you know, plugged back into the mothership, so to speak, and get recharged. And he would be there all the time. In fact, really neat story. I left a week after I got my black belt, I left for Officer Canada School. And so I never went back. I was never able to go back to Seido Karate, even though I really loved it.
Oh.
And so 4 years of hardcore training, then poof, I was gone. Anyways, 2 years ago, I went back to visit some friends in New York and brought my wife and son. And I said, look, I've got to go to the school. I've got to go check into Seido. I just want to look at it, right? I just want to see what the school looks like and, you know, kind of retread some of those memories. So I walked in the middle of the day on a Thursday. It was like 1 o'clock. I went up. You have to take a little elevator, but then the dojo is on the second and third floor on 23rd Street in Manhattan. It's 20,000 square feet per floor. Just this pristine wooden dojo. It's just an incredible place.
Wow.
And I walk in, and there is Nakamura standing on the floor just kicking off a black belt class. And I'm looking at this black belt, and I know all these people because they were there 20 years ago. Now they're all 6th-degree black belts, 5th-degree black belts, and they all see me, and they're like, wow, that's Mark. And then Nakamura sees me, and he comes over, he's like, oh, Mark, and he gives me a big hug, and he's like, oh, this is your son, very impressive young man. And, you know, and my son's like, wow, who is this guy? And then he introduces me to the class. He goes, this is Mark Devine, number one Navy SEAL, and very good karateka. I hadn't seen the guy in 20 years.
Wow.
How's that for mastery? I mean, this guy knows everybody by name. He didn't skip a heartbeat. It was like I never left the school. How cool is that?
That is great.
And so he's been a source of inspiration for years. And in fact, as I look up from my desk, I'm looking at a book of his meditation teachings. One of my favorite ones that I use all the time in my SEAL Fit Academy. Well, there's a couple. One is you fall down 7 times, get up 8.
Yep.
And the other one is still water runs deep. And we use this in my meditation classes, right? You know, most of us are in that kind of choppy, turbulent rapids of like a river, right? Our minds are rocky and, you know, the water is all churned up and, you know, it's choppy. And that's kind of like our thoughts flitting around choppy. And then, you know, what we want to do is be like the water that rounds the bend, and all of a sudden it goes really deep, and guess what? It gets really clear, and it moves really slowly, and it's still. And so that idea of still water runs deep is the idea of being, you know, peaceful, contemplative, depth of character, you know, slowing things down, getting out of that monkey mind, that beta kind of constant having to, you know, having to think, having to be addicted to that thought.
Yep.
And you know, slowing everything down, you know, getting into that sacred silence. So anyways, I learned that from Nakamura. So he was, back to your question, so he was one of my mentors. Another one is Tom Brown, who's the tracker, the most famous tracker, you know, in the world, basically. He runs the tracker school. He was taught by an Apache scout named Grandfather everything that he knows about, you know, wilderness survival, tracking, awareness, and spirituality, that Native American spirituality, which is fascinating. And so I've been to several of his classes. You know, he's got a great series of books out. He's a really, really interesting guy. Multiple conversations with him, and it's just been a real source of inspiration to me when it comes to a warrior tradition which was almost lost.
Yep.
And he's preserved it. The Apaches were just seriously advanced warriors, and I love their spiritual kind of language and tradition. And so he's kind of a second one. I would consider Ken Wilber, even though I've never met him, to be a mentor.
Yep.
Because of his contribution to you know, integral theory, psychology, integral leadership. You know, I've literally developed my leadership model of leadership and team building is founded on or grounded in integral theory, and it just makes so much sense. So there's three solid ones, and I would say the fourth major one is really the SEALs.
Yeah.
As a institution, right? What the SEALs represent to me in terms of their value set. In fact, my value for SEAL set, you know, basically I pull them right from, you know, the Navy SEALs values. And they have an ethos, right? And the SEAL ethos, the values are, you know, loyalty and service, right? And teamwork and, you know, obviously disciplined, and just some really solid values. And I'm like, okay, well, they work for the SEALs, and it works for me personally, and so let's, you know, let's kind of build them into my business. And so we've done that. Honor, integrity, responsibility, innovation, those types of things.
Yep.
So I'd say the SEALs in total are probably also another mentor or guide for us.
Well, Mark, it's been fabulous. I could sit and talk story with you all day. I know that you have businesses to run and workouts to do and sweat to get other people to do and all that kind of fun
Absolutely.
Stuff. So let me finish off with, tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you and perhaps a little bit more about the services that you provide, your camps, academies, and the best way for them to find out more information.
Okay, well, I mean, the best way is our website, which is sealfit.com, all one word, SEALFIT.com. And, you know, there it explains our camps and academies. And camps and academies, you know, aren't for everybody. We understand that. They take some preparation and some commitment. You know, the live-in academies will obviously take some time as well. And so a lot of people will then say, okay, how do I get started? If I want to maybe aspire to do that next year or even in 2 years, how can I engage with you guys? And that's what we've been working on. So one way is through our online coaching program. We have a fitness training program, which is challenging, but very, very doable and quite rewarding. And we hook you up with one of our SEAL/SEAL Fit certified coaches who would then help you along the path. We have two versions of that. One is like a fully customized training program based upon, you know, creating an actual training program for you and your goals. And the other one's more here. We provide, you know, the workouts that are already programmed. We won't do any special programming, but we'll help you along the way in terms of providing some feedback and stuff like that. And then we're creating, we're soon to launch a journal, an online journal we call the SEAL Fit Journal, which will be content, both video, audio, and written content around some of the topics we talked about today, right? Our five mountains,
yep.
Warrior yoga, mental toughness, you know, Kokoro development, that type of thing. So that would be a really neat way for people to engage with us. And then also you can join our email list, and I send out a weekly newsletter, which is, you know, based on some content. I'm writing usually in a series format, and I'm working on a series called Unbeatable Teams. I'm almost done with that, and then I'm going to kind of dive into leadership probably. And so this is like a blog type format.
Okay, great. And I will put these links on my blog with this podcast. So if people want to, if they can't remember it, or if they're driving and they just can't write it down, then go to my blog and you'll see it. Everything will be listed there, right back to Mark. And you have a fan page on Facebook yet?
We do, yeah.
Okay, great.
Fan page, sure. And I still have about 1,000 or 1,500 friends open. I've got like 3,500 friends on my personal page on Facebook. Someone wants to friend me.
Wow, well, that's about to change.
I think they close it off at 5,000.
Yeah.
But anyways, and if someone wants to email me, then the info@feelfit.com email, I get copies of that. And so if it's something that is personal or you know, something that I can respond to, I will take the time to respond to those, to most emails that are, you know, not frivolous in nature, if you know what I mean.
Well, again, Mark, thank you so much for your great, great time, your infinite wisdom, and actually what you are doing. Thank you for what you're doing to the people who come there, both those that are going to special ops, but those others that are going into their own life with this, the spiritual strength, the mental strength, the physical strength, the emotional strength that you're providing for them. Thank you so, so much, and thank you
thank
for
you.
Your time today.
You're welcome. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, Greg. I hope to do it again in the future.
Absolutely. Hold on a second.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mark Divine. He's absolutely an inspiring individual and so in line with my teachings and my philosophies. I just thoroughly enjoyed having a conversation with him. A couple of things I wanted to highlight from that in case you want to model some of Mark's success is in the beginning of the conversation he talked about after he got out of SEALs, he went on to some forums and was helping people, and he was actually the subject matter expert. And we hear that a lot in marketing, and that if you are good at something, go to the forums and just help people. It comes down to helping people with what you know. And because of that, Mark got exposure, and the government came to him and then offered him a contract, and then he lost the contract. But if you heard him after that, he said after he went back down to basically no business, his vision, and he used the word vision, kept him going. So then he turned around, and after helping people, he still had this vision of developing the SEAL fit, so he went and did that. Another one important here is when I asked him about staying focused, he put a team around him, and he did what he was good at. He didn't do the bookkeeping. He didn't do the marketing. He didn't do the other parts. He focused on what his strengths were. And we hear this over and over again, is focus on your strengths. If you're not good at something, don't try to improve your weaknesses. It's just wasted time. Work on your strengths. And so what Mark did is he worked on his strengths. He put a team around him who had their own individual strengths and worked on those specifically. So those are some of, and then you know, he talked about his values and beliefs, right? His family comes first, and his health and his reading. So he comes first, and then his business comes after that. But then he also talked about his passion for what he's doing that aligns with his purpose and turns that into a business, if you will. And it's all about helping other people. And I'm going to go on a different subject further down the road about passion, because we can have all multiple passions. Some of them are for us and some of them are for others. But anyway, this has been just a fantastic, fantastic interview. Hope you got some of those nuggets out of it. Go back and listen to it over and over again. I plan to, and take some more notes down, because Mark is just a fantastic individual. So with that, remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility and begin to program your mind,